This church offers a program of instruction, one that clarifies the teaching of divine science. Now, the course of study consists of six classes. The first class discusses the basic principle of divine science. Now, this is a very appropriate and necessary place to begin. The very first lesson is titled, The Search for Identity. Now, we know that identification is extremely important to the individual. When we talk about us, we use the word I, but exactly who is this I? Each of us requires a sense of self, something that is unique and distinctive to the person that we know as me. We desire to belong to something to fit in, to have a precise idea of who we are. We long to know the purpose and the reason for our existence. The search for identity, it begins with questions. Who am I? Why am I here in this universe of form and substance? Who made me? Do I have a goal? Our answers to these questions will change as we study and ponder identity, seeking our place in this world of expression. We look at our friends and those in our inner circle, and we consider their traits and characteristics. And we wonder, if it is true that like attracts like, is it possible that we can learn more about us simply by observing the people that we associate with? Now, from a very young age, we hear that word family, and we are told that that is really where we belong. And so we notice and we observe what makes up the qualities that are attributed to family. Now, normally our first idea of family is that biological one that we were born into. We took on the family name. We identified with what belonged to that family. We lived in the same house as they did, and we went to the same school with our siblings. And then on Sunday morning, we all gathered together as a family, attending a church service in a place of worship, one that was chosen by our parents. Surely identity may be found in this family that does so much together. Once again, we look at our friends and those in our inner circle. As we grow and move about, we find us in the company of others who are not part of the biological family. Now, these particular individuals share our interest, and we are drawn together for a particular cause or purpose. For instance, maybe we take up sports and we join a team. Or perhaps we share a hobby or pastime with others of like mind. We may get together with individuals to read and discuss books, or study art or music. Now, also in our time of exploration, we considered life from a religious point of view. We may find us in a church different from that one that we attended when we were growing up with the parents and the siblings. Now we look for a teaching that will assist us in our search for identity. We think about it. And we realize that this requires a new way of thinking about life, one that is different from what we previously considered to be so. As we grow and move about, we begin to think outside the box of our usual method of doing things, which is why we find us in the company of others. So now let us go back to that concept of family and look at it a little bit. In our experiences with others, we notice that many times each of those groups that we associate with think of themselves as family. Members of the sports team, they might think of themselves as family. Some people feel very close to individuals that they work with. They refer to them as family. I call all of you my church family. Close friends say they are like family, meaning that they share things that are common and things that they enjoy. We refer to members of our family as kin. That is a kinship or likeness in some way. Actually, kinship is what allows us to extend the idea of family beyond the one we were born into. Now, having kinship with many individuals allows us to belong to and to fit into many places. This may bring a certain degree of comfort and of satisfaction. Expanding our awareness beyond one particular place enlarges our experience, revealing a wider view of life. And all of this is helpful, but it doesn't fully satisfy our search for self. The only difference now is that we are looking for identity in many places. And at times, we belong to so many things. We appear to be searching for us among the masses. So we continue to ask our questions. Is our true self found in the DNA shared by the biological family? Is that the true kinship? Is our identity the one of team player? The one who appreciates art, or perhaps it is the one who is the member of our favorite book club. And on we go. And we haven't even considered the labels that we have accumulated along the way. The identification known as son or daughter, mother or father, aunt or uncle, grandfather or grandmother. And then there are those called a friend, boss, teacher, or neighbor. Each seems to come with a sense of identification, one that is associated with the function and the purpose assigned to it. In our search for identity, we find us asking, am I really all of those characters? Does kinship and purpose divide me into bits and pieces? Or am I one identity, simply traveling through various experiences? If this is the case, then who is this person that does the traveling? The one of many places, wearing different hats, but maintaining one sense of self. Who is this person? When we look at those various roles that we play, the ones I named, we discover that we inherit certain things that come with that particular role. We take on one persona as a team member and another as a member of the book club. Certainly, we act one way as parents. And another way when assuming the role of child. Now you may have noticed that no matter how old we are in chronological years, if our parents are still living, we are still their child. And in their presence, we find us acting as their child. To search for identity, we sort out what belongs to self, the self we identify with at any given time. We claim what belongs to our sense of self by using those words, I am. Whether we sow to the flesh or to the spirit, we use the words, I am. Now, what we add after those words tells us what we accept and identify to be so. time, we grow a little weary of the various roles, and we seek to know the true self, the one being that travels through different experiences. And then we ponder and consider the roles that we play, the ones I named, and we discover they are simply parts that we assume and act out. They have no lasting identification. We pick them up and we put them on and we carry them around for a little while. And then when their purpose is accomplished, we lay them back down. So we still do not know who we are. And in addition, we continue to wonder why we are here. There must be more to life than taking on responsibilities and tasks assigned to the one of humanhood. We intuitively feel there is one true self. Surely this self would have identity that is everlasting, eternal, not affected by the changing scenes of form and condition. When we ponder and reflect on the idea of that one true self, we find us contemplating what might belong to that self. We have observed us when we identified with that family of manifested form, and we did notice that we inherit what belongs to that sense of identification. We inherit what belongs to the family as personal appearance, as traits and characteristics. Some say we look like Uncle Joe, or that we have grandma's temper. Uncle so-and-so died of a particular disease, so, you know, it's quite possible that we might do the same. All of the girls on mother's side of the family became teachers, so I will probably do the same. After all, it is what the family does. Do you see how easy it is for us to accept what we consider to be the family inheritance? But who actually says so? Is it really necessary for us to think in this way? Do we really believe that this is our destiny or our fate? Or is it simply ours because we have accepted it to be so? Remember, what we accept to be so has a way of outpicturing as our world of condition and circumstance. Now, once in a while, a family member will rebel, refusing to accept what might be considered the family inheritance. Either the physical one, the one of health and disease, or the one of material possessions. Rather than be encouraged, many times this individual is considered the black sheep of the family simply because he would not claim what belonged to that particular household. He was beginning to think outside the box. Intuitively, he knew there was more to him than the family name with its perceived idea of self. We are still searching for identity at this point, not having a clue why we are here. But now we have limited our search in some way. We have become that family member who decides to rebel, thinking outside our usual way of doing things. Now, I mentioned earlier that in our time of exploration, that we are willing to consider life from a religious point of view. We have read and we have studied, and we learn there is a spiritual interpretation to life, and we have decided that is the one that we want. You see, we are no longer content with the temporary or passing scenes of uncertainty. We now seek what is absolute, what is lasting, not subject to change. It is our goal, and it is our intention, to pursue this life above all else, whatever it takes. You see, intuitively now, we know that is where we're going to find us, the true self. And at that point, our search for identity, well, it will be over. It is at this time that we might find ourselves in this church, sitting in the basic principle of divine science class, reading the words of Nona Brooks. She speaks to us of the value of religion. She has this to say. It is a way of life. It is a way of life in which each one acts out his or her own personal answer to humanity's eternal questions. Well, it would appear that even in spiritual study, we seem to have a role to play. But you see, it isn't like the role we assume on the playground of humanhood. We are not asked to play or act out some task or responsibility. Rather, we are asked to practice and live what we know to be true of life. And that would be eternal life. It is the natural expression of the one of divine being. It is that true self that does the expressing. The one self that travels through a variety of experiences. The value of a spiritual teaching. It gives us understanding of life. It is really the unveiling of truth. Truth reveals the true self to be the one of the spiritual identity. And we understand that its nature is divine. It is not of this world. So to live life from this view, it gives us strength, courage, and wisdom to meet the problems and challenges of everyday life. And we do have them. And talking about our inheritance, it is necessary to consider our birthright. Now, we understand that certain things belong to us as a result of being born into a particular family. I have already discussed how easily we accept the traits, the characteristics, health, and disease of the biological family as our inheritance, simply because we were born into that family. When we consider those material possessions, we understand that certain things belong to the family. And the expectation is that, in due time, of course, these things will be passed on to us. After all, it is our birthright to inherit in this way. Now, there might be some family discussion and debate when it comes to considering the fortune that has been amassed by that family. You see, many times there is just so much to go around, and many family members ready to claim it. In human terms, we call this an estate. And each member of the family expects to inherit what they feel belongs to them, regardless of how many other individuals may make the same claim as members of that same family. After all, it is their birthright to do so. We have also noticed from time to time that not everyone is in agreement with how that estate is divided up. There is much concern about the distribution of goods. In fact, some family members never do get over that difficult time of dividing the inheritance. We have looked at the human being from the standpoint of birthright and inheritance, But what about the spiritual being? What is the legacy of that birth? Spiritual being is of the household of God. Is there a birthright and an inheritance that belong to a child of God? And if so, exactly what would it be and how would we claim it? If spiritual being is the true self of all mankind, then it is reasonable to believe that it is everyone's birthright to inherit from the spiritual household. And since it belongs to all mankind, there would be many individuals eager to claim what they feel belongs to them. After all, it is their birthright to do so. Now, the human part of us might look at that and ask the question, is there enough to go around? Is the spiritual estate large enough to meet the demand? Well, we cannot look at the spiritual inheritance through the eyes of human understanding. Human understanding only knows in terms of lack and limitation. The Bible speaks of the storehouse that awaits our recognition so that it may open wide and pour out its many blessings. It doesn't say that the blessings are limited or that they are restricted or intended just for a few, very few, certain people. Spiritual blessings are of God, and they are meant for all mankind. This is the true inheritance, and it is our birthright to claim it. How do we do this? Remember, what we say after the words, I am, bears witness to who we think we are. Actually, the words, I am, are our method of claiming what is ours. Our I am sense of identification allows us to either sow to the flesh or to the spirit. When we sow to spirit, we understand what Nona Brooks meant when she said, religion is a way of life in which each acts out his or her personal answer to humanity's eternal questions. And yet, it isn't really us actually doing anything on our own. When spiritual being speaks, it means spiritual consciousness has rule in that being, and it is Christ who does the claiming. God made us. He is our creator. A creator can only create after its own stuff. We inherit his substance, attributes, inherencies, and qualities. Nature is ours. Our acceptance of the self of humanhood was really our mistaken idea about who we are. We never were that self. There is nothing to maintain that self into eternity. A life of form on this earth plane is simply one road traveled by the true self in its time of growth and unfoldment. In time, we return to that place from whence we came. We are eternal life, and that is our only inheritance. Our search for identity, it is now over, and each of us knows who we are. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close the worship service, let us rest a moment in God's presence. We know the Father through the Son. Christ in us reveals that God is in this place. It is in the quiet time of solitude that we become still and listen. We are not disturbed by thoughts and emotions. As we sit quietly, We feel incense in an inward way. What is given to us from within goes before us, making those crooked places straight. Wisdom is given to the receptive heart and to the open ear. It resides in the soul of man. Let us go often to the quiet place. Consciousness lifted on high renews and restores what human thought and emotion have taken away. The time of sowing to the flesh, it is over. To sow to the spirit is to partake of the fruit of the spirit, to be fed by the inner stream that does not run dry. I choose this day to claim my inheritance as a child of God. It is who I am. There is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.